Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the premier worship conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. There is a very common yet unnecessary guilt that many Christians live with every single day of their lives. They go to work, but they have this annoying sense that they have better things to do, or at least if they were really living the way God wanted them to, they'd find something better to do. They think they're actually wasting their time when they go simply to earn the paycheck to put food on the table. The job that they hold, they worry, isn't really serving God. They wonder, should I be doing more? Should I be witnessing to my coworkers? Should I leave this job and go into church work? It's unnecessary guilt. The answer is in what the Bible teaches about Christian vocation. Joining us to talk about Christian vocation on this Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of June, Dan Engel. He's a software engineer and father of two children in Columbus, Ohio, host of the Time Out podcast and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Vocation 101. Dan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, Todd. Pastor Wilkin, how are you?
Very well. You were recently, you say, in Cairo, Egypt, doing your job, software engineer.
Yes.
And you came and went, got your job done. Some Christians might ask, you're a Christian. Why weren't you over there preaching the gospel when you went to install software?
Yes. Well, the short answer is I was not sent there to preach the gospel. If my employer at the time were LCMS or a parachurch organization, if I were in their employ and I was over there in Cairo, then I would be sent over there to preach the gospel or make converts or whatever, but I was not. My employer is Halliburton. They're an oil field services company, and they work with Christians and Muslims and atheists and all sorts of people who, no matter what their religion is. So I was not over there to preach the gospel. I was over there to install and train people in how to use our corporate software.
So how does Scripture's teaching on vocation relieve you of that burden of guilt that many Christians feel in their everyday vocations, whether they're here or in Cairo, Egypt? They feel like, you know, I'm here doing my office stuff. I really ought to be having a Bible study with my fellow employees. I really ought to be sneaking the gospel in, you know, to my boss or to my staff.
Well, Christianity is your it's your main vocation. I mean, in the end, I mean, in the final analysis, you know, at the White Throne Judgment, your belief in Christ, it is your main, I guess, vocation, that you're called, that you're baptized, that you're saved and all that. But in the meantime, God has seen fit to provide for the people on this earth and to use people and to use means to take care of His people. He could just wish food for everybody and it would just appear. He has spoken, and out of nothing, things have been created before. But He has chosen in this case to allow His creation to do temporal things to take care of their neighbor, whether it is teaching software or farming or making financial decisions as an oil company.
So let's talk in general about the Bible's teaching on vocation. How is
How
is a Christian to sort it out? Does everybody get just one or just a few? How does it work?
Well, when I look at something like 1 Corinthians, like 1 Corinthians 12, there's a passage in there that starts out, I'm looking at verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And then verse 28 continues, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers, and then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Now, most of us, I know especially I don't have any real gift of tongues, and I'm not a very good prophet. I am kind of a teacher, and I do have some helping skills. So that is kind of where, you know, God tells us that, you know, through his word, that we have different people with these kinds of roles. In fact, if you go on to like verse 29, verse 30, St. Paul asks, are all apostles, are all teachers? And the implication in there is no, not everybody is an apostle, not everybody is a teacher, not everybody is a prophet. So especially if I'm not sent to be a prophet, if I don't have or an apostle or an evangelist and I'm not trained to be that way, then I really don't have that kind of business doing that.
You say that mischief can result if we confuse our place, our vocation. What do you mean?
Well, yes. I was in a church several years ago, and they had adopted a new program, and the implication in this new program, they were going to do all sorts of things like a model railroading club. Some of these things that were trying to get people together, you know, in enjoyment, enjoying type of situations, and then you would just kind of sort of sneak the gospel in there or try to deliver it. And that's kind of fine on the surface, but then the implication was made that if you weren't doing these church programs and having fun inside these church programs, that you weren't fulfilling an obligation to spread the gospel. And personally, if someone comes up to me, I hope, you know, I can defend the faith as best I can and, you know, answer the basic questions, that type of thing. But to put that onus on somebody who's not sent, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a sheep, and I listen for the law and the gospel, and I receive the Lord's Supper when I can. That's just not my place.
You also say that conflict often results, and I think it's inevitable for a Christian in his vocation that there's going to be conflicts. Let's go back to the Cairo, Egypt thing with you.
Yes.
Had your employer said, under no circumstances, and not just in Cairo, but on no job, are you to, under any circumstances, say anything about your faith to anyone, would that create a conflict for you?
Well, under no circumstances. See, that's kind of interesting. That's very extreme. We do have a sense of our place into, you know, what is business time and what is personal time. Like under no circumstances, that's kind of interesting. But like I wrote down in the article, if it happens in the classroom, this is the kind of way I'm separating it out. And when I'm there and I'm teaching in the middle of class, and I am performing that business function, I am serving my neighbor. I'm serving my neighbor in a decidedly left-hand vocation, teaching these people about the software that we need to run in order to make the money to provide for our neighbor. Now, if someone were to, in class, ask me about Christianity or whatever, I would, you know, be professional and be nice about it and say, well, we can discuss it after class. Now, to answer your question, if my employer said, even after class on my own personal time, at some point, that's a good question. You're making me wrestle with that.
Well, I guess what I'm kind of aiming at here, and I think your answer quite plainly shows that the vocation does, for Christians, bring this certain conflict. You've written that if you were asked by your employer or required by your employer to disobey something God clearly teaches, you have to obey God rather than men, but there will be consequences.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, yes. If my employer, now this would be dumb on my employer's part, but if my employer were to say that, you know, on these overseas trips, if I were in Thailand or Singapore or something like that, and I had to participate in a Muslim or Buddhist or whatever worship service, I would have to say, look, this is not what I believe, and I would have to make it very clear. And I really don't think that the guys that are performing this worship service would want me to be doing these sort of things if it wasn't what I believe. I would hope that they wouldn't want me to be a liar, and I certainly don't want to be a liar. But yes, in that situation, if there was some conflict like that, you do have to obey God rather than man. But you have to obey the full counsel of God. You can't just take one sentence out of the Bible and say, you know, this is the word of the Lord, unless, you know, you're really running into that. If my employer orders me to kill, or murder, I'm certainly not going to murder.
In the same way, if he ordered you to lie or deceive the people you were there
with. Yes, or steal, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about, really it comes down to two questions, the nature of work for the Christian and who is your neighbor. It sounds as though you're saying the Christian doesn't need to sit there and fret because he's not doing kind of capital M ministry all day long, that he isn't doing what God has called him to do.
That's absolutely right. You don't have to be in the service of a church organization in order to do what God wants you to do. Back in our more agrarian days in the United States, if you're a farmer and you had to farm during, I had family who were farmers in Kansas, and sometimes they had to do work while the divine service was going on, and they would ring the bells. And they would ring the church bells, and they would know when the church bells were ringing, that was when the Lord's Prayer was taking place. And they could actually sit there in the fields and say the Lord's Prayer with them. Now, eventually, they would go back to their pastor and do the, individual confession and absolution, that type of thing. And there are people who work today, on Sunday morning. I mean, you have emergency personnel, you have power companies, you have water companies, you have things that need to be done while, church is going on Sunday mornings. And so you still have those kind of vocations where it seems like it's in direct conflict with going to church. Now, on the other hand, that doesn't mean you don't ever go to church. You find other ways. If there's a Saturday service or if there's a late service or if you need, individual attention from your pastor, you've got that option too.
Well, when we come back, I'm curious. We've talked about these vocations in terms of, what shall we say, your job, your employment. Do our God-given vocations extend beyond the employment situation? We'll be right back. Businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're going to have to serve somebody. How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Look around you. Who is your neighbor? Who do you see here in need of God's love? Look around you, because of the Savior, what you're doing for them is more than enough.
Welcome Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Christian vocation. Dan Engel is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of June. In a little bit, that would be in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about the legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State and what, if anything, can be done there or elsewhere to stem the tide. Dr. Bill Weinrich will join us after that to talk about the late 2nd century, early 3rd century Bishop of Lyon, well-known church father Irenaeus. Dan, we've been talking about Christian vocation kind of in terms of employment or the job. Do these God-given callings extend beyond the employment situation?
Yes, absolutely. Parents, I'm a parent of two girls. One happens to be with autism, and making decisions as a parent, there's monetary things there that we have to consider. How does our family work our budget, that type of thing, and take care of those things. If you're a parent, let's see, even if Luther has a quote here, that's what I'm looking at. Luther had a quote here, even when a father is changing diapers, he's doing the will of God. But if you're, you've got parents, you've got employers. If you are, let's say if you're a teenager who's living with their grandparents, all sorts of stuff. If you're a college student, that's another vocation. If you're a high school student, if you're a student, you need to study. Find whatever it is you are good to do and you are good at doing, whatever it is you are good at doing, and then enhance that and be able to make a living with it so that you aren't as dependent on someone else and so that you can help someone else out. So whether you're a kid helping someone or whether you're in residential housing or if you're a citizen, that's another vocation where even if you're not quite 18 yet, I was writing, this was the Higher Things magazine I was writing for kids. Some of them weren't 18 yet. And so I wrote there, even if you're not voting yet, you need to be informed because you are turning 18. You are going to get that right to vote, and you do owe it to you and your neighbor to make informed decisions.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation former employer, and that applies to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have gone from job to job to job. That's not unusual. Talk about the change of vocation for us as Christians, how sometimes one ends and another one starts.
Sometimes one ends and another starts, and especially if you if you're an employer or if you changed employers and you've signed what's called like a non-disclosure agreement. People, especially in research and development and computer software, sign those kinds of things all the time. And so it would – now, here's a conflict of vocations for you. If you stop working for one software company and you move over to another software company, your NDA would prevent you from revealing what you were doing in that old company with the new company, even though it would help you quite directly – help you with that new company to have that knowledge of what that old company was doing. But you signed a non-disclosure agreement. Even though you would be tempted to do something that would help you in your new company, you signed an NDA. And so someone could, if that were proven out that your new company had benefited from that information, you could actually get sued. So that they would use a judge to resolve that conflict of vocation.
Talk about the vocation the Christian has that endures all through life, from baptism until death, the one that never changes.
Absolutely. Yes, our vocation as a Christian, and I'm speaking as a layman, I mean, we are baptized. We are forgiven for the sake of Christ. And so we live our lives doing the good that God wants us to do, and we do what God wants us to do because of what God has done for us. I cannot, I go back to that article, the third article, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit is called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctifies. And so, that vocation is lived by, in thankfulness for what Christ has done, I am informed by the law as to what actions are good. you know, if I were just a serial killer and I needed to, and I found out that, you know, murder was not such a good thing anymore, then I would have to stop. But once we find out, or once we have the guidance, we use the law as a guidance, that's the third use, to do what we need to do because of what God has done for us. So it's really in thankfulness. I have friends and relatives, you know, that like to bring that law hammer down, that if you aren't doing this, then, you know, then your salvation is in question. And that's not how it works. You're a Christian, you are washed, now act like you are washed. That goes back to St. Paul. You are washed, you are sanctified, now don't go back to being unwashed.
Finally then, Dan, why is the biblical teaching of vocation so liberating?
Well, the biblical vocation, the biblical doctrine of vocation, especially as Luther has pointed it out, it is freeing, because there is no way that I can live a perfect life. And so it allows us to do the best we can in serving our neighbor. And while we are informed by the law, now we go back to the second use, and we are aware that we have left things undone, that we have done things that aren't pleasing in God's sight. And so we can go back, and we can receive our forgiveness in the divine service, and then go back to serve our neighbor.
Before we let you go, Dan, tell us a little bit about this podcast that you host called Time Out.
Time Out is a podcast about 10 to 15 minutes long. It's hosted at LutheranTimeout.org. It is iTunes friendly. There is a link there to automatically put it on the Apple iTunes, or if you have another podcast player, you can load it that way. But it's about 10 to 15 minutes, and it's got about four sections to it, usually. The first is a scripture reading section. Now, when I do a scripture reading session, I recognize that a lot of people like to take one or two verses out of the Bible and just twist it. It's kind of like statistics. You can take numbers or Bible verses and do whatever you want with them. But I like to read whole chapters just so that the Bible is read in context, in its place, and you can understand really what's talking about. The second is a short collect, and that usually follows, you know, the season, or if Ascension happens to fall on, well, Ascension always falls on a Thursday, but for Ascension Day, we use that collect. The third section is really kind of the important one. It's the hymn section, and I am very privileged to have Cantor Nathan Beathy as my accompanist, a very talented organist from Grace Lutheran Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we sing hymns, and we sing them such that people can sing along. A lot of people, when they do their songs, they're ostentatious about it. They put a lot of flourishes in, and it makes it impossible, a lot of flourishes in. And it makes it impossible to just sing along to it. And these things are basic enough that where you can just sing along the hymns and learn Christian doctrine through good hymns. The last section is our bonus feature. We always take a section from Dr. Paul E. Kretzmann's popular commentary, and we take the section that relates to the Bible reading. And we've been very privileged to have that. The last couple of weeks, we've been going through the Psalms, and you know, you read the Psalms, and they're pretty and all that, but Dr. Paul E. Kretzmann's commentary highlights the Christology in the Psalms, and it's like going from black and white TV to color. When you see Christ in the Old Testament, and it really emphasizes the prophecies that this Son of God has done to fulfill everything.
Folks, you can find out more about the podcast, Time Out, by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dan Engel is a software engineer and father of two children in Columbus, Ohio, host of the Time Out podcast, and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Vocation 101. Dan, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
When we come back from this break, it'll be hour two of Issues Etc. We'll start out with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse talking about the legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State. That's hour two in just a few minutes. The summer is always difficult. Here at Issues Etc., we remind you that we depend entirely upon our listeners for our financial support. That means we're entirely listener supported. There is a way through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. that you can actually multiply your charitable giving to Issues Etc. through Lutheran Public Radio. We've made it easy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find there the logo for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. They have several ways for you to give to Issues Etc. through their Thrivent Choice program and other programs. Remember, Issues Etc. is produced by Lutheran Public Radio. That's the name you need to remember when you give through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Lutheran Public Radio. Remember that one. Issuesetc.org. Click support and click the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. A special thanks to all of our listeners, many of them now, that on a continuing basis support Issues Etc. through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. We are called to the various places in life where God puts us. They change throughout life. One thing does not change. The call that He has given to each of us in His Son, Jesus Christ, through baptism, that call remains steady and unmovable. And that is a call that leads all the way to eternal life. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.